continue the conversation at dannymorell.com/awakenyou. Welcome to this week's episode. I'm telling you right now, watch this till the end. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I know that the last time you were here, it was one of our most powerful shows.
Yeah, it's so good. You're such a good interviewer, though. That makes a difference.
Alexi, yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So listen, I want to get right into it. You know, you and Preston were just at our Inner Circle Relationship Intensive.
Yeah.
You helped me and everybody there really move through some energy. You know, in 30 seconds or less, why do you think they should listen to this thing till the very end?
Well, you know, everybody wants change, right? If you're listening to this podcast, you want change. And oftentimes we don't realize the thing that we want to change isn't changing because our body is in the way. And so wherever we go on this journey of our conversation, you better believe I'm going to bring the body, the nervous system, somatics, and what it means to actually build a body to hold the life you desire and the life you want, because that is the fundamental piece that's missing.
And I want to add to that. I want to say that the work that we did was so powerful. You know, if you follow us on Instagram, you'll see, and maybe the team could put up some B-roll of when this was happening, but we did a workshop where we were all hugging.
Yeah.
And we were practicing the dynamic of giving a hug versus receiving a hug.
That's right. Yeah.
And I realized in myself, my God, after all the work I've done, I still have a difficult time receiving. Yeah.
Isn't it wild? It's like you can do all the things, you can know all the things, you can study all the stuff. And this was my journey too. I was probably about 15 years into personal development as a student. And recognizing that I really had a lot of guards against intimacy that I couldn't figure out. It's like I knew, but I couldn't let it go. And it was because my body wasn't conditioned to open in intimate space. It couldn't receive because it was afraid to. It was patterned to close. So I love that you actually got to play with the group of people. It was really awesome to see that. But this is why nervous system work is so foundational to everything that we do. Because if we don't train our body to open when it's conditioned and patterned to close and collapse, we're going to get the pattern. Because the body's always going to pick the path of least resistance, which is our patterns and our conditions, which for most of us is built in before the age of 7, which is crazy.
Because we don't even know what's happening.
We don't. It's a biological imperative. Like, hey, we got to form our nervous system. We're in this environment. Wherever you're born into, whatever I'm born into, we're born into an environment that we can't control. That environment is set up in a particular way that our system goes, how do I find safety here? Okay, I got to be out of the way. Or, okay, I need to learn how to deal with chaos. Or I need to be a pleaser. I need to lean in and make sure everybody else is good. And we learn and condition our form of safety, even if it's painful for us as adults. That's why we keep doing the same stuff.
And it's what leads us to not being able to receive financial abundance, not being able to be in a beautiful, loving relationship, and as a result, we're talking about the body, like not live healthy, long lives.
That our bodies are so tight as a society. We're like walking around like this, and we wonder why we can't receive financial abundance because there's no life force. There's no give and flow from our body. The ebb and flow, the tides of our system and our energy has to have an open channel to move. And most of us are holding on so tight and we don't even know it. I mean, that was me for over a decade. I had no idea, no idea. I was teaching this work. I had no idea how tight and closed I was until I knew. And then I knew and I'm like, oh, wow.
Everybody's got to learn this.
I got to learn this. I got to master this. And then I got to teach this because this is it.
So, you know, before we came on, we were talking to Jen about moving and
all of the things.
Yeah. And, you know, I couldn't help but remember that the last time you were on the show, you had told me like straight up, look, Preston and I have to decide if this is something we want to stay in.
Yeah.
I vividly remember that.
Yeah.
Because I remember it, the maturity of it, like the unattachment of it. Yeah. And it takes a deep, deep level of work to like, understand that, you know, we don't own anyone and we're not attached to anyone. Yeah. Everything just is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if we have kids and businesses and all the things together.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And then to see where you guys are at and to see that you not only said it, but I felt it in your energies to see you working together at the intensive,
yeah,
it was like, wow, you guys are at a deeper level than ever before. So I want to know about that first. Yeah. Let's start there. How did that all happen?
Well, the last time we chatted, we were at a very critical point in our marriage where we were very transparently looking at like, hey, do we want to opt in for another 10 years of this, right? We have a lot that we're kind of enmeshed in together with our work and our kids, obviously. But this gets to be a conscious choice. And it didn't feel like we were choosing each other at that time. So we took 90 days and we said, okay, we're not going to make any hard or fast decisions. Like, let's you go to the dojo and like work on yourself. I'm going to go to the dojo and work on myself. Let's see what happens. Let's leave it up to God, right? And in those 90 days, like, I feel like we didn't even make it 30 and we were like, oh yeah, we're doing this. You know, it was just so clear. I went so deep into my own work as a feminine woman. And for me, again, I kind of skated the surface of this work from a very intellectual standpoint. I understood it. I had done a lot of courses with like the big names out there and I knew a lot. But things weren't changing in my body. There was still a resistance to receiving. There was still a resistance to allowing my man to lead. There was still a resistance to softening and resting and like being in beauty and being in flow and being in my body. There was still resistance to it. And I couldn't quite figure it out until I started coupling everything I know about the nervous system with everything I know about somatics in the body, with everything I was learning about the feminine. I'm like, oh, they inherently play together, right? So I started building my own practices. I was going through kind of like a dark night of the soul alongside one of my girlfriends who was going through a similar one. And we started getting very intentional about the work we were doing. And it was lighting me up in a way that Preston was like, wow, like, I don't know what's happening, but holy shit. And I could feel it. And I didn't do it for him. And I think that was the most important part is I really did it because I didn't like the woman I had become in the process of our marriage. It was like, this isn't me.
What didn't you like about her?
She was so serious. She was tired all the time. She always focused out, always. I mean, it was everybody else's needs before hers. It was working until I couldn't work anymore. It was this constant state of what I now call survival, right? My system never felt safe to land in my body, to be in the lived experience of my life through my body. So I was constantly like creating more and making more money and successful, like full type A, full overachiever, like to the T, like boss babe, yes, but not someone that felt free in my body. And it's so funny, like I was having this conversation with my friend. I feel like I'm a woman now who looks at my life that I created 3 years ago and before, and the life I created back then, I created in search of freedom. It's like, oh, I'll build this business because this will make me free. I'll travel here because then I'll feel free. And I built this whole life around what I thought would conditionally bring me freedom. Now I'm a woman that lives in my body that knows that I am free. Like, I've liberated myself. And so now I'm looking at all these things I created from this false idea of what's going to give me freedom. I'm like, I don't even want that anymore. So now everything's changing, which is cool and also a little crazy sometimes, you know, because I'm like, oh, okay, I have to undo a lot. But the path and the life I'm living now is so deeply aligned that it's just incredible. And so that inspired Preston. It allowed him to show up in different ways without me doing any work, without me trying to change him, without, like, I just took all the pressure off, like, hey, you need to change, you need to do this, why aren't you, blah, blah, you know, the laundry list. And he just felt free to actually, like, choose himself and say, you know, what type of man do I want to be? Like, I want to show up for this woman now because of how you're showing up is inspiring the masculine in me to lead and to contain and to hold in a new way that he's never had to. And so, you know,
he probably didn't have the space for it.
No, at all.
Because you wouldn't allow it.
I didn't trust it.
You didn't trust
it. I couldn't trust his leadership. And it wasn't because of how he led. I couldn't trust anybody's leadership.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Why? Because when I trusted my caregivers at a young age, they led me down paths that didn't work.
Yeah.
Right. And so again, until we know what our system is set up for and conditioned towards, we don't actually know how we're resisting the exact thing we're complaining about. Like, I was like, why isn't my man leading? Well, I'm not letting him. There's no room. You don't trust it. And so I had to build trust and containment and safety within my own inner masculine for me to really go, oh, okay, I've got me. And now that I can trust myself, I can open up and surrender myself to be led by anybody else.
What does that feel like? Because, you know, Alexi, the more and more that we do this work, the more and more that we can literally see in the world,
yeah,
you know, the issues that are affecting us all, because it's just reflecting back to us where we once were.
Totally.
So one of the things that I see is like, you know, most women today want to blame most of their issues on men.
Yeah.
Right? Which, listen, I get it.
I get it.
And yet, I also understand that if you take that a little bit deeper, what you don't realize is happening is that you are blaming the man that's in front of you for everything that your dad or your brothers were or weren't for you.
That's right.
And until you go backwards to heal that, whatever man is in front of you, you're always going to have your guard up.
Yes.
Because you're living from the space of hurt.
Yeah.
You're living from fear instead of your true feminine, which is love, openness, and allowing.
Totally. And it's what's even deeper, like the deeper cut that like really messed me up was like, he's a reflection of how I'm not leading myself.
That's right.
Like I'm not willing to hold myself in my full emotional expression because I'm too busy. I don't have time for that.
Trying to make it happen, trying to defend that. Right.
That's right. And it's like, how could I possibly ask somebody to do something for me that I'm unwilling to do for myself? It's so unfair.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had his whole version of that as well, that we were both projecting onto each other. But all I can talk about and take responsibility for is my side. And wow, is there so much responsibility I had to take. And when I started to do that, you're right. When you say that women are like, men owe us and they messed up and we need apologies. It's like, we're almost like hungry for reparations. Right.
You know, can I say, as you said, reparations, I thought of like slaves.
Yeah. That's how we feel like we have been oppressed for so long, and rightfully so, for so many reasons. Yeah.
Yes.
Right? And nothing changes or heals with more shame. Nothing. Right? And this was something I really had to get because I was on the top of that horse of like, screw the patriarchy, like just so angry.
And really?
So mad. Oh, yeah.
I can't even picture you. Like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Because I felt, you know, I do a lot of nonprofit work. I've been doing it for decades. And I see what happens in the dark underworld and underbelly. And I work a lot in, you know, with children who have been sex trafficked and all the things. So I have a lot of evidence of why men are screwing up the world, right? Yes. And again, the evidence is there. However, where we can take responsibility as women, and one thing that changed for me fundamentally in how I viewed Preston, I was so angry at him for a long time for like, you're not pulling your weight and like around the house and like we're both making money. Like this isn't, I can't be like CEO of the home and CEO of these businesses and CEO, you know, like I need a break, right? But when I really started to heal my own inner masculine, I could really find devotion for his masculine again because I was devoted to my own. And I could see that like while I was doing all this pleasing to try and be a good woman and fit into society's standards of superwoman of all the things, right? I could also see that my husband was trying to please me and be a good man, right? Like he was working his ass off and showing up in so many ways and bending over backwards and getting up with the kids and doing his best and changing diapers and like, okay, like I can take him off the chair of the villain and I can stop being the victim and let's start like actually playing we. Like how do we want to play? And that's the conversation that changed everything. It's like, what type of man do you want to be? Because real talk, like I had this thought in my head when I was thinking about leaving, right? When I was like, well, maybe.
So you were literally thinking about leaving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I had this thought, like I remember I was in Mexico with my girlfriends and P and I had just gotten into it and like things weren't good, right? And I had this thought of like, oh man, when I enter the dating scene again, like here's the type
Watch
of woman
out.
I'm going to be. Like I'm going to be this, that. And I had all these like fantasies of like how dope I was going to be as a woman, right? And I thought to myself, why don't I just be her right now?
Wow.
Like, why am I not bringing that version of me to my husband? And that's when I said, like, I don't like the woman I've become. I'm like, he's not even getting my fullness. I'm not getting my fullness. Like, screw him for a second. Let's talk about me. Like, yeah. I'm not getting my fullness. I want to be this woman regardless of whoever is in my life, whether it's him or somebody else. I want to be the woman that looks at my life and go, fuck, I am so grateful for who I am and how I live. Like, yes, more please.
Mm-hmm. Alexi, when you said it was, I got emotional. When you said I wasn't acknowledging how he shows up for me, I wasn't acknowledging how hard he works, how he takes care of the kids, how he, you know, it's like I saw myself in that.
Mm.
Because so often, yeah, this was a hurdle that Jen and I had to cross as well, where we were butting heads over, you know, and to be fair, like I wanted more of her, she wanted more of me.
Of course.
Because that's just what we want, right?
Humans, we want more.
Right, and yeah. And then, you know, as you said that, I just remembered like in where she finally let go of like her defense. And she started to see me for who I am and for what I do for the relationship. Yeah. And then on my end, I don't know which one happened first, but I remember like I used to like bitch and moan about her leaving her jacket everywhere and you know, whatever it is.
The little things
are really insignificant, but they build such a big like divide.
Yes.
Where I was able to say, you know what? I love her.
Yeah.
Why don't I just pick up the damn jacket?
Generosity.
Right? Yeah, because she's been working all day with the baby and feeding her. And like, while I'm in here doing this, she's out there doing that. So yeah, maybe she left the jacket behind.
Yeah.
And maybe she's going to leave it behind 1,000 times more.
That's right.
But I see who she is and what kind of a mother she is.
Yes.
So I'm going to do my best to support her.
Yes.
Like, and no longer be critical of her.
That generosity of like, I'm going to go above and beyond because I love you, even if I'm triggered, even if this bothers me. Like I'm like a Virgo. So stuff on the floor and not in their place bothers me. I also have 4 kids. So I've had to soften that a little bit. Yeah. Right. But
that's probably why you had the 4 kids to teach you that.
To soften. That's part of my karma. Thank
you. That's right. Yeah.
But you know, it really is like being generous with our energy and our love and our grace for our partners. And, you know, I think about certain stats. And again, I was like the woman on the soapbox, like men need to pull their part in the home. And they do, right? A lot still needs to change.
Absolutely.
Because it's not equal.
Right.
It's never going to be equal, but it's going to be an oscillation of responsibilities, right? Depending on what season you're in. But we have to look at the stats. Like men are committing suicide more than women. Right? Men are dying of heart attacks more than women. Why? It's because their version of pleasing, their version of bending over backwards is going so hard and stressing out so much to try and hold the family, even despite how they may not be showing up in other ways. We have to start acknowledging that too, right? And I think that game of the war on the masculine really has to stop. And I didn't recognize my own war with the masculine until I healed the war within myself. Mm. Within my own inner masculine of like constantly like shaming myself for how hard I was working and how da da da. It's like, I'm not feminine enough. That's the war on the masculine.
That's right.
Right. And so again, we don't heal anything with shame. We heal it with love and acceptance. That's the only way to heal is to really welcome it in and go, okay, you're here. Let's look at this.
Do you find, I know what the answer is, but I really want our audience to hear what you're about to say. But do you, because this is what I talk about, it's like the more and more you return to your heart, the more and more that life just flows.
Yes.
It just gets easy.
That's right.
Like you really don't work anymore. It's just you,
that's
right?
That's right.
So do you find that ever since you guys cleared this stuff up, there's more love, there's more passion, there's more money, and there's more time?
Oh my God. we have hit like our manifestation game. I told you about the house we manifested.
Yeah.
We manifested 2 of our dream cars. Like just, it's been so on point and so crazy. Our love is so expanded and so deep. Our passion is, we're working way less, like less efforting and like pushing and proving, like that's gone. And it's just like dropped in. Here we are. This is it. Here's what we have to share. Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it.
Just feels so good. There's a resonance to it. And I don't know if you follow any of Heart Math stuff, like the Heart Math Institute.
No.
Oh, you'll love it. Okay. You'll totally nerd out on it. So it's basically an institute that studies the power of the heart and how the heart is basically the second brain. And we can map our coherence and we can map our field from 3 feet out of our body in all ways from our heart. And so when we do studies of the heart and we're tapping into these higher frequencies of love and acceptance and grace and compassion, our field actually expands and we can scientifically measure it, which is really cool. right? Wow. And that's that feeling when we feel, if you've ever done, you know, psychedelics or plant medicine or Molly or whatever it is, MDMA, you have that experience of like expanded reality. Everything expands. You're like, I feel like I'm a part of everything. I'm touching everything. Everything is me and I am it.
Yeah.
That can happen without all of those substances when we tap into the power of the heart.
Mm.
So it's really powerful.
It's impossible for you to have a successful relationship with another human being or a partner if you don't have a successful relationship with yourself. And what we as human beings don't realize is that we are deeply disconnected. We're disconnected from Mother Earth. We're disconnected from peace. We're disconnected from love. What we do at Awaken is we curate different exercises to help you reconnect first to yourself, and then the beautiful process of reconnecting to everybody begins. And that's why Awaken is so powerful. You'll do more in 3 days at Awaken than you would do 30 years anywhere else.
I was so stuck, and now I feel peace.
Awaken has been the best thing we have done for our marriage.
Coming here, I realized that the answers were inside of me all the time.
Head on over to DannyMorrell.com/awaken now to get your tickets today.
I'm going to share something. I don't think I've ever shared this before, but I can vividly remember there was a moment in my journey where my heart started to open. I've felt the physical sensation of my heart chakra opening.
Mm.
That's different. That was like a warmth,
yes.
Like an expansion like
yes.
that. But I remember there was a moment, I don't remember what happened, but I remember, and you might be able to explain this, my heart, something happened to it where it felt like a kaleidoscope.
Mm.
Like, like a whole bunch of like, parts of a puzzle coming back together or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm sharing that because, you know, if you're out there listening, like, you know, that's the beauty of psychedelics.
It is.
Is you experience things that you just can't. You know,
I say it's a possibility opener. Like it just
that's
opens
right.
all possibility.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool.
So I want to know what you mentioned the word somatics.
Yes.
So if people is listening for the first time, they hear that word.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So soma in Greek basically means the body. So somatics is working with the body, study of the body. We cannot exclude the body from this work of personal development. It is a large part of our person, right? Mm-hmm. All of the signals that happen in our body are informing the brain. Right. Most people think, oh, my, tell my brain what to do, mindset, NLP, all the things, then that will inform the body to act in a particular way. That's about 20%, right? 80% of our signals come from the body and inform the brain. So if you have a nervous system that closes in intimacy, if you have a nervous system that felt safe in chaos, because that's what your home environment was. If you have a nervous system that learns that performing and being useful and the star and at the top is how you receive love, great. That is what's going to inform every single thing you do. And so we cannot be outside of how our nervous system is moving the body, the animal, the human animal, and it informs our identity, which informs our thoughts, which informs our beliefs and our feelings and our behaviors and our actions and essentially our results. And so until we get to the foundational root of the system that's controlling the person, we don't change much.
Mm.
We kind of have these surface level changes and we start to realize, oh, I'm cycling the same thing, attracting the same guys. Oh, here I am. I got the money. And then it all goes away again, right? We cycle these same issues and we don't really know why. We ask like, am I sabotaging myself? Like what's going on? And it's the truth is it's your system's trying to keep you safe.
Yeah.
And it's doing what it knows how to do best.
And this is why I always tell people, I sound like a broken record sometimes, but like get to awaken.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's one of two options. It's either you're going to do some sort of somatic work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Which like at awaken, it's like the breath work.
Which is
like
amazing.
They're
yeah.
releasing.
Yes.
The body is releasing all
and
of this.
And opening.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So good.
And this is why people like come and then like 2 weeks later, they're like, oh my God, I attracted $100,000. How did I do this? It's not me.
No.
It's you. You did the work.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Or you sit with psychedelics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people have a hard time, not everybody, but some people have a hard time with that. And they immediately defend.
Yeah.
They're like, no, but it can't be. But what you're saying is it's like the foundation of what it is that is actually happening.
That
it's your body is changing. It's letting go. It's releasing. I'm visualizing in ceremony when you're literally throwing up.
Purging.
You're purging. You're getting rid of it. And you feel like a brand new human being because that energy is literally gone.
That's right. And a lot of people don't know how much their body stores. And so there's a book, a very famous book called The Body Keeps the Score.
That's right.
And it's all about how our bodies actually store trauma in our system, in our field. So trauma is not just capital T trauma, where it's like war or abuse or neglect. Obviously, those are traumas. But there's emotional trauma, not feeling safe to express. That is a very deep emotional trauma. There's sexual trauma, right? We know very widely about sexual trauma. There's the trauma of just being a human being on this planet. COVID's a trauma.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like our whole world, as we knew it, was taken from us.
Yeah.
And we had to figure out how to exist safely in a world that feels very unsafe and uncertain. So our bodies are constantly dealing with, how do I process this trauma? And if you're not clearing the channel in your body through somatic work and nervous system work, psychedelic, come to our workshop. That's what we do there as well, without psychedelics.
Yep.
But if you're not clearing it, you're essentially storing, and your body becomes very dense, That density now is moving through the world, and we're going, why is this showing up in my relationship? I don't understand. I'm saying all the right things. I'm using nonviolent communication. I'm blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm using Imago therapy. Your body, the density of your body can be felt. So my animal can feel your animal right now. And we're reading each other. Whether we're doing it consciously or not, we're not. We're doing it unconsciously, right? Neuroception. My body is going, is this animal safe? And I'm going to answer that question based on your density and my density, right? The more dense of a body you have, the less safe I'm going to feel, because I don't feel your openness. I feel your clothes. Your clothes could feel like this to me, right?
Yeah.
The more open I am and receptive I am, the more people, it's like that person that walks in a room and you're like, who is that? They're just open. There's you can feel their life force. You can feel their aliveness moving, right? If a dense body doesn't have the current of life flowing through, it feels heavy.
So this is what you're explaining so much. So this is why, like, for example, you know, day one of awaken, right? It's like, you know, it as a speaker, it takes me a little bit of, then by day three, they're all like hugging each other. And that's what, okay, I get this.
Yeah,
get this.
Because they're coming in from a dense body.
Right.
Right. And they're, do I trust this animal yet?
Right.
They're feeling into, even if they listen to the podcast. Now it's human to human. This is beyond our cognitive ability.
Right.
Our bodies are now playing. It's the same thing. Like, you can meet somebody. I have a friend who's single and she's like swiping all the time on all the apps. And then she meets them in person and it's a no. Right. And that's your body going like, nope, my animal doesn't trust this animal. Right. And so the more work we do when we put ourselves in scenarios and do breath work and put ourselves in really challenging scenarios for our nervous system, and we anchor in safety and open, that creates deeper opening in ourselves. The more we clear out the channel and purge the stuckness in our body, the trauma in our body, the more open we become, the more available we become. This is how we recondition our systems as adults, right? We cannot change what happened to us in our past, but the good news is you can recondition your system to a new set point of safety in your nervous system.
I want to bring up a sensitive issue, because it's like the messages. I'm like seeing it. I'm seeing what you're saying and how it plays out in the real world.
Yeah.
So very often, and again, I don't, you know, I want to allow you as a, or I want to ask you as a listener right now to just allow what's about to come up to just come up. Don't, well, allow yourself to just maybe not judge it and just receive it and play with it.
Yeah.
Often, I'll see someone that is largely overweight. And what I have come to realize is that often, and like 99 out of 100 times, if I dig deep enough, there is some trauma that they experienced when they were a little boy or a little girl that the body has been holding on to.
Oh yeah. And then oftentimes it is a protection mechanism for people to not pay attention and look at the body if the body was a place that was unsafe.
Yeah.
So a lot of, I mean, we do a lot of trauma work as well. And we see this often, you know, it's like we become disassociated in a moment where our body is being violated.
Yeah.
Right. And this happened to me. I had a sexual violation as well. We disassociate. And then oftentimes we never come back in and inhabit the body because it's too much. Like, I don't want to feel what happened. I don't want to go there. It's dangerous. It caused too much attention. Look at the disaster it caused in my family or with this person. And so we just kind of stay here and we hover. Some people deal with that with exercise addiction.
That's right.
So some people, the really fit people, often have a lot of body trauma too, because that's their way of like, if I can build this shield, I am good.
No one can hurt me.
No one can hurt me, right? Like, I will build the fortress. I'm in control of it. It's the same thing we see it with a lot of sex workers. Sex workers often are, you know, have some sort of sexual trauma in their youth, and they'll say, I'm going to take my power back. If you're going to use my body, I'm going to be in control of it. Same thing with the exercise addiction. It's the same pattern, right? Oh, well, if you're going to harm my body, well, at least I'm going to be in control of my body. Some people go the opposite way. Right. Some people have sexual trauma. They go the opposite way. I'm not a sexual person, or like, I do it for my husband, but I don't want to. It feels uncomfortable. Right. And we kind of disassociate like this and pull back. The person who disassociates from their body in a health way will often just put on weight and stack on pounds in order to build a barrier of safety to go, hey, don't look at me this way. Mm-hmm. I'm not a sexual object. I'm not this person. Like, I'm just in this body. Please don't pay attention. Like, right. And so it all makes sense, right? And this is why I have so much compassion for everybody, because yeah, everybody's going through something.
Yeah.
Everybody's been through something. And we never know why people make the decisions that they do. They often make them because it makes sense to their system. And so we can have compassion for people in that way, because we make decisions out of what feels safest for us to stay alive. And like, that's our human imperative, is to stay alive and survive.
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, in that example, I was thinking of, you know, often the women we work with, they'll say something like, I just realized that I was sexually abused.
Yeah.
And that's why I've been putting on weight to keep men away from me.
That's right.
But in the same note, I'm picturing and envisioning so many men who suffer from, like, you know, dependency on steroids,
yeah,
and having overly big muscles,
yeah,
that like 9 times out of 10, when you ask, something happened. They were abandoned by their mother. Yeah. They were sexually abused. Yeah. Something happened. And it's, we as human beings really don't understand how our body truly is showing,
yeah,
what is happening on the inner world.
That's right. And it's so funny. It's, you know, we say the body doesn't lie in our work. So we have a lot of people, we work with a lot of coaches and people who are practitioners. They come into our workshop because they keep hearing about it and they're like, let me see, right?
Yeah.
And they come in and they can say all the right things, but we're just reading the body. We're like, well, you have a closure here. This is collapsed here. This is trying, it's struggling and wants to move and you're not allowing it. And so we're just reading the body. And it's funny, we do a lot of work in Australia, a lot. And have you ever been to Australia?
No, but I know there's a lot of people out there that have been. Yeah.
Yes. So Australia is amazing. I love Australia. It's like one of my favorite places. They have a very strong, like, macho culture. Like, the men are like really big and built and buff. And 9 times out of 10, a lot of the men that we work with have had some sexual trauma. Mm. And they build this like castle of an exterior, a fortress, right? Like, you cannot get in here. And the body itself is so rigid that there's no opening and allowance of life force to move through, even though it looks good, even though it's like, ooh, swoon, this is the perfect kind of man body that we want. Our animal can feel that body and go, something's missing. Like, it doesn't feel online.
You know, I'm now thinking of even the woman with, you know, like the whole Instagram model, look at me woman type, yeah, of body. Yeah. You know, when the woman is constantly needing to show,
yeah,
and utilize the body,
yeah,
for attention,
yeah,
there's something there as well.
Totally. And this is like the fine line, right? Because we cannot ever know someone's intention.
For sure.
Right? Like, I could post, and I have like navigated my own judgments around all of this, which,
yeah,
I have a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have a,
yeah,
lot, yeah, right? And I used to model and I used to be in that world. So I get it. But I had a story of like anybody who's like on Instagram showing certain things, I'm like, thirst trap, you know, like,
yeah, yeah,
all my,
yeah,
judgments. But again, when I come into my heart, my compassion, it's everybody is moving and operating from what feels safest
right.
to them.
Right.
And so maybe getting this level of attention is how they are feeling safe in their validation of self. Maybe they're not even doing it for anyone else. Maybe they just want to validate their own damn selves and be like, look how fucking awesome
right.
and sexy
That's
I am.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, sister. You know, it's like I have come to such a humble understanding that we can never know.
Yeah.
We can never know. I've worked with thousands of people all over the world from so many different walks of life and so many different backgrounds and traumas, and we just can never know.
Is there something to be said with rigidity and the body, and the more flexible you are, the more that the body is able to like flow? Because this leads me to like yoga.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple things like, can you touch your toes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you're a baby,
you can't.
Selena can grab her foot and put it in her mouth.
Oh, yes.
That's because nothing's happened yet,
That's
basically.
Right.
Right?
That's right. Yeah.
She hasn't been like jacked up yet, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like, is there something to be said to the least likely you are to be able to touch your toes, which true story, before I started my work and my spiritual journey, I couldn't touch my toes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like now, I'm like legitimately noticing this right now in this moment. You know, even if I haven't done yoga in a month, I could, I could either get very close or go all the way down.
Yeah.
Is there something to be said for that?
There is and there isn't, right? Because again, there's people who are yogis that come in and work with us and they've got a lot, like a very dense body, right? They could be very flexible, but they're very disconnected, right? And we have a lot of people who are like workout people, exercise, health and nutrition people, and they come in. And they're like, I'm so in touch with my body, but they're not.
Yeah.
Right. They're utilizing the body, objectifying the body, but they're not actually in deep relation with the body. Right. And with the more you come into relation with the body, even if it's just through exercise, stretching, any of that, the more you're opening the channels of energy. So yes, yes. And it depends.
Yeah.
Right. So I always think it's a beautiful practice. We're human beings that are meant to move. We're meant to move. We are now traditionally spending 90% of our time like this.
Sitting
in chairs. Where is the power source of our energy? From here to here.
Yeah.
And we are literally collapsing at our hips, right? And then we're stuck here. We're collapsing at our ribs, which is our solar plexus, right? Our center point of our animal is just above a groin. And that's crunched when we sit. If you go to any indigenous cultures, how do they sit? Have you ever seen any indigenous? Okay, so men and women. They squat. Why? It keeps their power center fully open and available. That's how we're meant to sit. That's
squatting.
How we're meant to birth. That's how we're meant to, you know, like sit and cook. They squat. They squat and they work on the floor. Like that is how we are meant to move in our bodies. And we have become so dignified that we've cut ourselves off from the very life force that most of us are seeking.
Wow.
Yeah. It's wild.
Wild.
It's like we get so much smarter and yet we screw ourselves in the process.
For sure. For sure. Know? For sure. Absolutely. Masculine, feminine energy.
Oh, yes. My favorite topic.
I think I'm just going to say that and let you rip. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I want to say like, I love this topic so much. It's something I work with a lot of women on in my program, The Muse. And we have to start off by saying that masculine and feminine energy are internal in all of us. And a lot of people are now using polarity conversations to shame and blame their partners. You're not feminine enough. You're not masculine enough. I'm not feminine enough. I'm not masculine enough. We shame and blame our partners. We shame and blame ourselves. And we forget that while these energies are a part of each and every human, there's also humans that we're working with. Like when I'm working with my husband in this arena, yes, I'm working with his masculine energy, but I'm working with a man called Preston who has a history and a past, and he's a human. And so often we want to relegate it to like, well, if he was in his masculine, then I would do this. Maybe, right? Like that's his work to do on his own. My feminine's my work to do on my own. And we're still very much dealing with real humans and still trying to figure that out. So let's not like fully only play in the philosophical of the two. And let's land in like, this is a human that's very complex and very gray. It's not black and white.
Yeah.
Right? And so the idea of masculine and feminine, which I love, is very black and white.
Yeah.
It's like masculine is this, feminine is this. Masculine containment, yes. It's supposed to contain and inspire the feminine radiance to come online and fully surrender.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But now I'm dealing with a human who has traumas. I'm dealing with a body that's dense. I'm dealing with positions and postures we've taken in relationship over 10 years. Oof. All right, it's a little more complex than that,
yeah.
Right? And you know, I know you teach this work as well. It's so gray because it depends on the woman and the man.
Yeah.
Right? Some men have a more feminine core. Some women have a more masculine core. Okay, so how does that woman find her feminine? Right? And the answer is you have to find the expression of your core essence that works for you. Because again, we live in this world that so wants to objectify everything. And I think, I know for myself, for a very long time, I punished myself for not being feminine enough because I'm a type A, go-getter, ambitious, always been that way since I was a kid. It's not something that I learned, right? And I made myself wrong and thought, oh, if I'm in my feminine, it has to look like this. I don't work as hard. I don't do this. I dress this way. I talk this way. I float around in fields of daisies or whatever the idea is, right?
Yeah.
But that is just another objectification of who I think I should be. And men the same. Like, men have a really high standard these days in the spiritual community of women of like, you're not in your masculine. You don't contain me. And it's like, well, it's a little more complex than that.
Yeah.
You know?
So if you've been listening to my podcast, you know I'm a strong believer and proponent of plant medicine's ability to awaken your mind, body, and soul. And many of you have asked me where I recommend going to experience the power of these medicines. And the only place on planet Earth I would ever recommend is Reunion. It's a not-for-profit healing center with over 30 years of experience in Costa Rica, which I trust wholeheartedly. I'm honored to have aligned with them to create the Higher Self Scholarship Fund. So $100 from every booking from our community goes into this fund, and we will award the fund to someone like you every couple of months. So help me help others by using the code DANNYREUNION when registering. The link to register can be found in the podcast notes, or you can learn more by going to reunionexperience.org.
It's so interesting you mentioned that, but I would say that at my core, I think I'm more feminine.
Yeah. I think Preston is too.
Yeah.
Like, he's very open and available and artistic and creative and fuck yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, we say as women, oh, I want my man to contain me. It's like, do you want that all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, like, oftentimes we want to dance. Like, I don't think a man always wants a woman who's fully in her feminine all the time. Like,
no.
He might want some inspiration and some life and some ambition and drive. And again, we're human.
It's, you know, it's one of the things I love about Jen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I'm going through, like when I have a problem to solve and I don't necessarily know how to solve it myself.
Yeah.
I'll like tee it up to her and she'll be like, well, baby, haven't you thought about A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P? And I'm like, yes.
Yes. And like, we could say, okay, that's her in her full power.
Right.
Which to me is her feminine's fully online and her masculine's fully online.
Yeah.
She is integrated in her wholeness and her expression as a woman.
Yeah.
Right. And vice versa. Like, there's moments when Preston's so in his power. And to me, it's he's integrated in his feminine and his masculine. And it's like that. I just want someone who's in alignment.
With them.
With them.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like.
Whatever that looks like.
However that presents. And I think that's why the journey is so nuanced for each human, is we have to be willing to have the humility to look at ourselves and go, well, how do I actually present? Like, who am I at my core?
Yeah.
And then what type of man do I want to be? What type of woman do I want to be? And for me, like, the stretch of the woman I wanted to become, she was more in her body. She was more in her joy. She was more present. She was more alive. She was more inspired and artistic and creative because I've always been her, but I put her on the shelf because I didn't value that.
Yeah.
Because society doesn't value that. Society wants a hardworking boss babe entrepreneur that's crushing it and, you know, 6-7-figure businesses. And so I was like, cool, that's what I'm going to do to get love and validation. Great. And it worked until it didn't.
Yeah.
Right. And then when it doesn't, you start to search for answers. And my answer came, go back in the body.
Go back in the body.
Yeah. Wow.
It's so interesting how all of this like reflects on what we choose to do for a living.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because when I was in, you know, an unhealthy balance with myself, I can honestly say my feminine was like, here I am saying to you, I think like my core, like it's mostly feminine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet here I am saying to you that. And yet when I was like, you know, the real estate broker, my feminine was completely shut off.
Right.
100% shut off.
Right.
Because I was living in survival paradigm, make the money, you know, get the things, so forth and so on.
And in a very masculine driven, shadow masculine.
Shadow 100%.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm sitting here realizing that in truth, when everything really started to take off for me, is when I returned to the essence of who I am.
Yes.
You know?
I love that.
Even, I'll say it this much, Alexi, I just came off, true story, I'm gonna say this right now. I've been dealing, like, I always thought I didn't have issues with money, but I'm starting to realize I have some pretty big damn issues with money.
Yeah.
Saying it, I'm getting all fucked up right here.
Yeah, that's juicy.
Yeah, and I'm going to bring this up because hopefully this helps, you know, us in this conversation, but hopefully it helps you as well. It's like, I've always made a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's never been a problem making a lot of money. But if I'm honest, I know my capacity is to probably earn 10 times more in half of the effort.
You and I, this is the conversation I'm in right now.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's big because I know, listen, I'm going, see, even saying this sometimes, like I would have this story, I'll tell you, like, I know I'm $1 million a week kind of guy. Without stress, helping humanity heal and awaken, you know, working 20 hours a week or less. I know I'm that.
Yeah.
And yet what I realize is I've been keeping myself from the fullness of who I am because something inside of me, the story inside of me has been saying like, you know, there's two groups of people out there. It's like the people who like step up to limitations and they overcome them.
Yeah.
Or the people who step up to limitations and back down.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the kind of guy that steps up to limitations and I just fucking go. Like, I don't see them, right?
That's right.
But I've been listening to the group of people that step up to limitations and like back down.
Interesting. Okay, so what's the core story that's under that for you?
So I'll tell you what it is. It's like, you know, awaken.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's this beautiful thing that transforms human life.
Yeah.
For 3 days,
yeah.
I used to charge $395 for it.
Right. Yeah.
It cost me $395 bucks per person
right,
to put on the damn event.
Right.
And then I was trying to like sell people into a program or whatever the case may be. You know, and then I decided to like take it to like $700 because inside of me it was like, ooh, you don't want to charge too much because what if people don't come? And the value that this event offers to people.
It's life-changing.
It's life-changing.
You can't put a price on it.
You can't put a price on it. I had someone at the intensive who pays us $30,000 to be in Inner Circle.
Yeah.
He literally was like, I was having this argument with my wife about paying $30,000 for this course.
Yeah.
And I helped them like reconnect. And I go, this will tell me now, what's it worth? He goes, this is priceless.
Priceless. Like, what is it worth to get your life back?
Priceless. And yet in my scarcity mindset, true story, have been limiting myself and limiting humanity by listening to the people who write us on Instagram saying $777. I know you have to make a living. It has nothing to do with that. If you flip it, if you choose to flip it, this could be medicine for you.
Well, let's get real, right? Because I love that you're bringing this in because this is something that P and I have had to deal with too. It's like we root for the underdog. Like P and I are both like underdog.
So I'll give my shirt to the damn underdog.
We like are friends with all the homeless people in our old neighborhood in Venice. Like we're just like underdog, right?
Yeah.
And we used to price all of our stuff that way because it's like we want everyone to have it. And the interesting thing is the people who are complaining about the price of that have an iPhone. How much does an iPhone cost?
It's so great because I always want to say, how much is your damn iPhone?
How much is your computer?
That's right.
When's the last time you shopped on Amazon? What was the price of that?
Yeah.
It's not about what something costs. It's how much you value that thing.
That's right.
Right? And the truth is a lot of people who are stuck in their victim complaining about why life isn't working, they don't value change enough. It's why they're in the same place.
You know what they really don't value? Themselves.
That's right.
It all goes back to you.
That's right. And I just want to like for any of Danny's listeners that complain about your prices, you put on this amazing podcast for free.
No, not for free, for negative.
That's right. Well, that's what I was going to say.
He costs me money.
You pay this for equipment. You pay for hosting. You pay for your researching, your time, your energy on clients. It costs money to make this happen. It costs your energy. It costs time away from your kids, from your wife, from your other businesses that do make money. It is a high cost to do free content. And we live in a world that we're so inundated with free content that we forget. We forget that people spend time, energy, effort, love, intensity, research on this.
Yeah.
And this is free. Yeah. And this is fucking magical. So it's, you know, we have to, again, really get with all the free content that there is out there. To me, this is speaking for myself, but I know this is for all the clients that I've worked with. And I'm sure you can say the same. The minute I put my money down with somebody, I get real responsible for the work I'm about to do because now there's a cost.
That's right.
And I'm not going to waste my money. And so when I pay my coach and I sign that check and send the bill out for 40 grand for 6 months, no problem. Let's fucking go. Why? Because I know I'm going to get my money.
Happily, because I know. And then when I'm not going to say, when I am over here tripping on the fact that someone, which by the way, we decided we're raising the prices of the events.
Yeah, you should.
Because it just, these hotels, the AV. So,
I mean, the hotels alone.
It's insane what they want to charge.
It's insane. Like we, I mean, 50% of our cost is hotels.
I know.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm on this journey, I'm going to go on a journey myself here pretty soon.
Love it.
Because I know underneath it, there's some things that I have to clear up.
Yeah.
But the dream that I have for humanity is like to help usher in the healing of humanity.
Right.
That's going to take money.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is in this world.
That's right.
And I realized that like by falling into like this energy of trying to please not poor people, but a poor spirit, because that's what poor energy.
That's right.
I'm actually stopping myself from like the healing centers that I want to pop on all over the world. It's me.
And you're robbing them from the opportunity of choosing how much they actually work, like value their worth.
That's
to
right.
Say, I actually value my life and 3 days and however much you're going to charge more than I value upgrading my phone.
That's right.
I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
Right? Let's be real. And the truth is, you know, I always hear the pushback on this. Again, I'm in the nonprofit space. The pushback on this is like, but Mother Teresa and Gandhi did it without money. Not true. Mother Teresa was funded by some of the wealthiest people in the world to do what she did. Gandhi, same. Do your research. Those people needed money to travel the world and support and to show up in their heart and to give in service of love. All their needs were taken care of.
That's right.
By the wealthiest people in the world. So while we hate on capitalism, we also need it. We also need it.
100%.
That's what's going to change the world. Like, you know, it's like we want to fight the system. Well, let's play the game. I believe in an abundant world.
Alexia, that's the choice you have.
Yeah.
It's either you can choose to fight the system, be mad at the rich, hate, you know, whoever it is that you hate because they have what you secretly desire that you wish you had.
Right.
Which in actuality, it's not even the money. You know what it is? It's the freedom to become the fullness of who you are when it comes to the frequency of money.
Right. And now let's talk about this, right? People really want, they think they want the cars, the house, the jewelry, the clothes, the whatever.
Go get it and find out that's not
what you want. And we have the luxury of knowing that.
That's right.
We've made the money, we've gotten the things, and we're like, oh, this isn't it.
That's right.
Now, if you don't have the luxury of knowing that, hear from two people who have that what you actually want and what you're actually chasing is your soul wants to be fucking liberated.
That's right.
It wants to be free. It wants to like fully express and create and live and experience this life that we have. And you can do that right now. Now, I'm going to circle it all back. This is why events like yours and mine
and yours
are fucking priceless.
Priceless.
Because you get that in three days.
That's why I call it 30 years of therapy in like 3 days.
3 days. And it's like, when our people leave our events, I'm sure it's the same with you, and they go, I don't even want the same things because I'm a different human that now gets it. I am liberated in myself. And because I'm liberated here, I don't need all those things. I can still get them. Because why not? Why not play the game? It's available to all of us. So let's go. But I show up differently. And then the grasping on all those things goes away because you realize you're the source.
You're it.
You're it.
That's right.
And to me, like, how much do I have to pay for that? Okay.
Done deal.
Sure.
Done deal.
Take my money.
Take it. Yeah.
Yes.
It's so interesting. Yesterday we were in Houston and this beautiful bellman, he was like the most wonderful guy, and he was just so friendly, and he brought up our bags and he cared for Selena. This just beautiful smile on his face, you know, very humble. And like I would tip him every time, and it was interesting because I tipped him when he walked in the room, and then like I saw him in front of the car after he put everything away. I was like, fuck, here, just take my money. Yeah. I literally just take my money.
Yes.
Because he was so beautiful.
Because who you be so inspiring.
That's
that
right.
I can't help but pour into
you. Can't help it.
That is what the world, God, universe, source is constantly saying. Who's available for me to pour into them?
That's right.
And most people are like, I'm so busy being busy on all the wrong things. I'm not available because I'm so busy being busy, focused on who I think I should be versus I'm available because I am who I am and I'm so locked in. I'm so anchored in myself as the source of my safety and freedom. Life, let's go. I'm here to receive.
Casper, this was a good one, right? Good. Yeah, it was. How many clips you got?
10.
Yeah.
The secret clip maker. I love it.
How do people hear more about you, Preston?
Yeah. So if you want to come work with us, get in the body, repattern and condition your nervous system, come to the bridge, bridgeexperience.com, code Danny, all caps, for 20% off.
For 20% off.
Yeah.
They were trying to give you a discount.
See, that's how much we want you in that room. Like, come, because we know what's available.
This is the one in July.
Yeah. So we've got July, and there are two weekends. We really suggest you do both, but you can do level one and then come back and do level two later. But two weekends. We've got July here in Austin. We've got Australia in October. We've got Austin again in January. We try and do it once a quarter.
I might come.
Yeah, come. And it's such a, like, it'll just blast you wide open.
Okay.
To yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, Preston and I aren't like trying to do any song and dance. Like, you're the workshop, and you really get to, you go as far as you are available to go.
Wow.
And it's really powerful. And then for any women that really want to take the feminine journey and do it in a real integrated, beautiful way that's unique to you, awakenthemuse.com/Danny.
Awakenthemuse.com.
And I'll send you the links.
Okay, beautiful.
/Danny. I've got a freebie there that's all about the art of receiving. So check that out. If you like a taste of that, come into our world. Again, it's all about integration of who you are in your unique expression. Like, there's no prescriptive formula for anything.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. That's so great.
And we're going to go check out.
You guys are coming to Buda. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're, you know, we love our house, but we don't love how far away it is from Austin.
Yeah. And we happen to, like, again, we manifested, like, literally manifested the house that we drew that we were going to build. We manifested it like that. And it's got land and a creek and hills and trees.
That's
and
what
it's
I want. Okay.
So close to Austin. It's the best.
We're going to come.
Yeah. Come by. Yes.
Thanks for being here.
Of course.
I hope you guys enjoyed this one. This one was wonderful. It was medicine for me. I'm sure it's going to be medicine for you. We'll see you next week on another episode of The Higher Self. Hey, friends. This week, we're going to do something new. You've been asking so many questions that we're going to start answering them on a weekly basis. So here's this week's question.
For this week's question, Danny, we have Ieva from Lithuania asking, I'm a single mom building a business from scratch. The thing is that I'm sick and tired of living in scarcity, of being surrounded by poor people and not having money to live based on my standards. In 3 years, I want to become a multimillionaire and create the dream life for me and my daughter. What I realize is that to do so, I have to relocate and be surrounded by truly rich, wealthy, and successful people who know how to get where I want. I have big dreams and a vision, so I want to ask for your help. Where do I start and how do I get where I want? Thank you.
I would say, number one, what a beautiful, I feel her energy and I feel how serious she is about what she wants to create in the world. Listen, I would say step number one, like, forget about needing to move and just start exactly where you are right now. Step number two would be, I think this podcast, for example, taught a lot about some of the work that you have to do on your energy, on your body, to release any sort of barriers between you and what it is that you want to accomplish, have, or receive in life. Step number three would be to get clear. And what I've always taught people is what worked for me when it comes to money, for example, like you could want to make, let's say, $1 million a year, but understand that in order to make that $1 million a year, what we tend to do in our minds is we tend to get into a space where we put our goals so out of reach for what we believe based off of who we are right now, that we put it so out of reach that it feels impossible to ever get there. And so what I would say is like, take that goal and break it down into bite sizes, right? Maybe it's not $1 million in 3 years. Maybe it's $1 million in 10 years. Like, what would be wrong with that? You know, if you really think about it, there's so many human beings that go 10 years without ever achieving that. And I would say, you know, if you're stuck at an income of like $50,000 a year, for example, and you've never made $100,000 in a year, then I would say that there's a limiting belief and a story around what it would mean for you to make that. And I would say, number one, let's make that your target. And then number two, I would say, write the statement every single day, 25 times a day, I earn $100,000 a year or more, whatever your number is. Normally, what I teach people to do is take the most amount of money that they've ever made in their life and multiply it in 1 year and multiply it by three. And then when they do that, what happens is it unlocks this thing called the reticular activating sensor in your brain to start getting comfortable with that new number. And it'll feel weird. It'll feel a little bit different, but it'll soon enough become normal. And the reason why most people struggle with money is because their normal is struggle. Once you create a new normal inside your mind, your heart, your body, your soul, then the steps to take will manifest themselves. So I would say, before I were to give you like what to do, the only thing that I would tell you to do right now is to change what your normal is. Write that statement down every single day and then go after that number, whatever your number is that would make you feel possibly a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit nervous, and yet you know that if you work hard and you focus on it, you can actually make it happen. That's the number you have to go after. Because if you keep thinking about a number that is too big, that it feels unrealistic, your ego will continue to find ways to make sure that you never achieve it, because deep within your heart and soul, you feel it's unachievable. Thank you for your question. We're going to be doing this every single week. And yet, if you want your questions answered live, we do this every week on Thursday afternoons inside of Awaken You. So go to DannyMorrell.com/AwakenYou, sign up, and I'll see you inside.